Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
If you have ever held a seashell to your ear, instinct was telling you they had something to say. Michelle Hansen is taking that instinct to the next level. When you consider there are over 100,000 different kinds of shells in the world, you begin to see how much wisdom is out there, an entire kingdom of master teachers. Michelle Shelley Hansen has conducted seashell divination and oracle card readings for 35 years and has authored two books on the subject she loves, Ocean Oracle, What Seashells Reveal About Our True Nature, and Ocean Wisdom, Lessons from the Seashell Kingdom. Now, during the past 12 years, she has taught hundreds of students through her popular online Ocean Speak course devoted to personal growth using seashells as divination and energy tools. Michelle Shelley Hansen has found a method to decode the language of the Seashell Kingdom, and it's our pleasure to welcome her back to This Week in America. Shelley, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure. Going to be fun today. Thank you for being with us.
I know. I'm so eager for today. Thank you so much for having me back and giving me another opportunity to share the wisdom from the Seashell Kingdom.
Well, thank you for giving me another opportunity for free class, because I'm enjoying this and taking notes as we go through this. Seashells are found, of course, all over the world, and I understand that you have students literally from all over the world, from countries all eager to learn the universal shell language. In addition to the U.S. and Canada, you told me that you have students in Europe as far away as Australia and China. And for many of these students, interesting, if they're outside the U.S., English is a second language, but you report they all learn to speak shell beautifully. Now, since this is the fourth interview, as we mentioned, we decided to let the audience know that you and I chatted a little bit about the subject of the interview, felt it would be interesting to go, well, behind the scenes to get a closer look of how the shells are able to offer guidance, similar to what you teach in your online classes, how to work with Ocean Oracle and Ocean Wisdom. So how does someone use these tools actually to do a shell reading? And give you? Can you give us basically a crash course here?
That would be my pleasure. I can certainly help with the fundamentals. So Ocean Oracle is a boxed kit, and there have been many versions of Ocean Oracle, so I want to stop there for just a minute because I want to show the audience in case anyone has different versions. So this is the earliest version, and it kind of looks like a cigar box.
Oh, I like that, yes.
And then we have, just quickly, some other versions. So whatever I say today, I want to assure everyone, every version has the same components. So don't worry if yours looks differently. In fact, to add to that, this is the German version. I also have the Swedish version, a Dutch version, and I know this looks very different, but this is the French version.
Interesting. There we go. Yes.
So all of these have the same components that we'll be discussing. Because I want people to see, if I say they all have 200 shells in them, I know that number 200 sounds scary, sounds kind of overpowering. But I want to demonstrate a simple method for using the shells so that everyone can do readings and they'll gain personal insights that will help them navigate through life.
Okay.
So when you open the Ocean Oracle box, what you will find are posters, fold-out posters. So I'm going to give you a little demo here. This is one poster. I'm trying to not have the glare of the light on it, but you'll see there are many, many shells. And both sides. It's one poster. And just quickly, so these, as I said, are in even the foreign translations have the same posters.
200 of them. That's amazing.
200. Right here. This is number 200. So, when you're looking at the posters, I want to start there. The first thing you do is just see what gets your attention. And the shells work in two different ways for this. One is, wow, something will just look so beautiful, you're drawn to it because you really like it. Also, sometimes what they'll do, they can be sneaky, is make you feel bothered by something, but it gets your attention that way. And either way counts. So bearing in mind that every one of the shells, back to our posters here. Every one of them has a number beneath them.
Okay, yes, I can see those.
Now, there's a matching deck of cards, and you don't have to know anything about the shells except for the number beneath it, and you'll be able to find the matching card. You take out the card that matches the shell that got your attention, and however many there may be, arrange them any way you like. And then you simply turn over the cards, and the meanings are on the back. I have to credit my husband. That was his idea to make things easier. Just had the meanings right on the back of the card. So you just string the meanings together, and that's what delivers your message.
And
Now,
the
there is one other component in the box. This is not necessary to do readings. But this is in case you say, okay, here's the meaning on the back, but why? Why does she say that? There's a book, and it gives you the derivation for all the meanings, where they come
okay,
from.
yes.
And they either come from the behavior of the animal that made the shell, how they've interacted with us throughout history, or even the anatomy of the animal. So, with that said, I thought we could experiment. And I'm going to use two shells. Imagine a client looks at these posters and is drawn to these two shells. I hope you can see. This is
Okay,
number
yes.
six, and this is number 35.
Okay.
It's getting a little bit of a glare there. So you would take out the cards. This is card number six and number 35. I'm going to start with 35. This is called a NASA snail. And the actual shell, so you can see, is this little guy.
Tiny,
This is a
looks
NASA.
just like the picture, yes. Like the
Yes.
card.
In fact, that's how I got the picture. I just photographed the shells in my collection. So this is shell number 35, the NASA. And NASAs are found all over the world in tropical waters, whether it be North America, South America, Australia, the Philippines, China. They all have NASAs. And NASAs travel in these vast armies on the ocean bottom to scavenge. And a NASA will climb over the backs of the others to find room to move. In an aquarium, a NASA will climb over the back of another to get to food. So, with that behavior, climbing over the back of another NASA, in human terms, that is someone who's willing to walk over other people to get what they want. In other words, they believe the ends justify the means. That goal of whatever they're trying to achieve is justified by whatever means they use to get there.
We
So
can.
this is the NASA.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what, Rick?
No, I was just going to let you finish that thought there. I'm taking
So
note.
if,
I'm taking notes as we go.
okay, so here's the card for the NASA. On the back is the meaning. And I know you can't read this, so I will read it. It says, walking over people to get what one wants, believing that the ends justify the means. So now you know why that meaning is associated with the NASA.
So we have that. We know where that meaning comes from. What about the second shell? What about that?
Okay. The second shell, in order to really understand that, I need to introduce you to a family called the carriers. So let me begin with that. Show you two different carriers. This is called the rough carrier, all these rocks on it. And this is called the pallid carrier. But in some books, this is called the geologist because it's got all these rocks
Oh, yes.
attached. And this is called the original shell collector because it's added all these shells to its surface. Now, carriers live on mud. So, what this is doing, if I can put this down for a second, is it's spreading out its center of gravity like a snowshoe effect so they don't sink in the mud. So, that's the purpose for adding rocks or adding shells onto their own little shell.
How are they able to add those other shells and rocks to their own shells? How do they go about doing that? How do they know how to do that?
Well, for that, let me tell you about all mollusks because this applies to every mollusk. When a mollusk is born, it has a shell that fits its body perfectly. In fact, there are other animals that also have shells. I brought my little plastic lobster to demo. So, crustaceans, lobsters, shrimp, crabs, they also have the same situation where they're born with a shell that fits them perfectly. And then their bodies grow. And if you think of a shell like a shirt, imagine when we were very young, we had a favorite shirt. So let's look at a shirt when you're young.
Oh, yes.
And then your body grows. And eventually, as much as you want to wear that shirt, it becomes useless because your dimensions just don't fit that shirt anymore. That problem occurs for both the mollusks and the crustaceans, but they handle it very differently. So, if you are a crab or a lobster or a shrimp, let's see, you start off with that perfect shirt and your body gets bigger. Just like a snake sheds its skin, they shed their shell and they build a new one. Now, the new one is in softened form underneath. So when they shed the shell, the new one just has to harden and they're set to go. But that's why you can find soft shell crabs.
Okay.
And then that will harden. Now, if the animal grows again, yet again, it will shed its shell and build a new one. That's the crustacean solution. If you are a mollusk, they handle it very differently. Start off with that same shirt, fits them perfectly. Now their bodies grow. Instead of shedding the shell, they say, let me just add a little more material. A little more at the hem, a little more at the sleeves. And if their bodies grow again, add a little more material. But they always have the original shell or shirt that they started with. That's the major difference between the mollusk and the crustacean shell building. Now, with the carriers, as their bodies grow, so let's take a look again at that pallid carrier. Ignore this part on the top here.
Okay.
It would have only been this little area up top, and then the body grows, and now it's got a new edge to its shell. It's going to have to add one more item. So this would be the final area right now. If its body continued to grow, it would have to add another item maybe out here. And what they're doing is taking the calcium out of the water and building a shell out of calcium carbonate, which is in a protein matrix. And while that's in softened form, they're able to use their proboscis and their foot to add the next little item until that hardens.
I mean, just amazing. How long does that process take?
That is an interesting question because I want to show you this in closer. I can move in even closer. Notice the shells that are added, how they're all facing with the opening facing up.
Yes.
So you've got this one, this one. They're living on mud. And if these were facing down, it would catch in the mud. But if every one of these is facing up, even though we see the reason for it, if they were randomly added, some should be facing down. The fact that every one of these is facing up means The animal is thinking about what it's doing. So when you ask, how long does this take? The animal has to position the shell perfectly so that it will be helping spread out the center of gravity for that snowshoe effect, and so that the opening will be facing up. And that can take an hour or so just to position it. Then it has to hold that shell in position. And if it's a large shell, I've read it could take up to 10 hours before that is firmly attached.
And these are shells that are thinking this process through. That's just when you think about it, I've underestimated shells, I guess, for too many years.
Now, the fascinating thing is, I showed you how these shells are all facing up. I was amazed when I found this picture because the animal is using whatever it can find in its environment to spread out that center of gravity. This was from a calendar. And this is a carrier shell. But notice it added a beer bottle cap found in the
Oh,
ocean.
yes.
Now, this is the underside of the carrier. So if you were to right the shell, once again, the beer bottle cap would be facing, so the hollowed out area is facing up. It's still thinking about making sure that that is facing up.
That helps us understand the whole process for adding these items to the shell. It's really amazing, isn't it? All the items that can be added.
Yes, and in fact, when I first got the shell, I was sure someone got carried away with a glue gun because look at all
Oh,
these shells.
yes.
And I have a compendium. This is what I use when I'm trying to identify my shells. Let me just grab that to show you because
All of
when I
this, by
turn
the
to the page for carriers, by the way, this book has 4,000 shells. So it definitely was going to give me an opportunity to see carriers.
that, yes.
And this is the page of carriers. There is nothing very flamboyant about these. I was really convinced of my glue gun theory until I looked at the next page. I'll show you the picture in here. This picture, but I made an enlargement because I really want to point this out. Look at this shell. Mine could have posed for that picture. That is how they occur in nature. No glue gun involved. And I was wondering about the glass sponge. As I said with mine, ignore the glass sponge.
Yes.
That's because the carrier does not add the glass sponge because it's in its early stages of growth. I wondered, why would it want to do that to itself? But it's when it becomes adult. The glass sponge comes over and adds itself to the top of the carrier shell.
Are you saying the
So,
second shell we started with is a carrier shell too, but it didn't have
yes,
any rocks or shells visible on it?
exactly. And that is the amazing thing about that shell. So, let me show you the shell. You were looking at card number six. And I told you that every picture is from my shell. So
Yes.
this is the shell from card number six. And if you notice, it grows its shell, spreading
Yes.
out its center of gravity. It doesn't have to add anything to it because it grows its shell, accomplishing that task, so it won't sink in the mud. But if you look underneath, because I know it doesn't look anything like the other carriers. Let me show you the family resemblance. So this is the underside of this shell. And when you see the underside of the geologist, you can start to see the resemblance. And here's the underside of the pallid carrier.
Okay.
So yes, these are all carriers, but this one, when I looked in that compendium, I made an enlargement again to show you what it said. So here's the sunburst carrier from the compendium. And the last sentence here says, no attachments at any stage of its life. So that jumped out at me. No attachments at any stage of growth. To me, that meant this shell represents the idea of someone who prefers to be alone, no attachments. And therefore, card number six on the back, the meaning is preferring to be alone,
Okay.
avoiding attachments. So now we have the vocabulary to work with these two shells. The I'll do whatever it takes, believing the ends justify the means, and preferring to be alone, avoiding attachments.
I can see that they're all carrier shells. So how does this contribute to the meaning of the sunburst carrier that we saw earlier?
So the sunburst carrier, because it's avoiding attachments, what that means is this is a person who subconsciously is none of these beliefs, maybe at the conscious level of awareness, may have been hurt in the past, either in relationships they were abandoned or betrayed, or even had a compromise in some way. And that created pain. So subconsciously, they are now equating relationships with the potential for pain. Someone else may have had to compromise their values in some way. Again, that causes a different kind of pain. But anyone who's working with the sunburst carrier at a subconscious level is feeling that past history, that relationships got them into some kind of painful situation.
You mentioned this is subconscious. How does that show up in the client's life if it's subconscious? How do they realize this?
Ah, this is why this is so important, because the client is not aware they're holding a belief that relationships could lead to pain. So let's imagine we have a woman pursuing a relationship. She's thinking that's a great idea. Well, as her feelings evolve and she gets closer to the potential for a deep love, her subconscious kicks in and it says, "Are you crazy? Do you know how much this is going to hurt when this person either abandons or betrays you, or you have to compromise yourself in some way? I better protect you." So, what will happen is the client self-sabotages the relationship, clueless that they have this belief. But as they witness the relationship crumble, they're wondering what went wrong. And their subconscious is going, "Oh, that was close." You know, the subconscious prefers a quick, relatively painless severing of the relationship to the torture it's expecting if her heart is more invested.
Can this have a similar impact in the case of a different relationship, say in business?
Yes, because in business, again, it involves a partnership. So if someone in the past was in a partnership where they had to compromise their values or sacrifice some of their thoughts, this person would be better off self-employed. If they get into a partnership again, they will self-sabotage. They will sever that partnership as quickly as possible because of the subconscious belief that that is better than the pain that awaits further down the line. So the point of working with this shell is to bring that to these people's awareness so that now they can reevaluate their beliefs around, do I really believe that relationships are going to create pain, that partnerships are going to cause me to have to compromise and sacrifice? And once it's brought to their awareness, if they change a belief, they can change what they create in their lives because we create from our beliefs. So that's the purpose, to empower you with information about yourself, your hidden thoughts and feelings, that can offer opportunities to reshape what you create for yourself.
If this shell is in a reading, does the client then need to realize and reset his life to spend hours of his or her time alone? Does that mean they're going to be alone?
That's a great question because what happens is they would if it was a subconscious thought and they weren't aware of it and they're
Yes.
constantly self-sabotaging. But once it's brought to their awareness, if it feels like it's limiting them or no longer serving them, they can change. As Dr. Phil used to say, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. This is helping them acknowledge what they've been hiding inside themselves, but controlling them behind the scenes and giving them an opportunity to perhaps reevaluate that thought process and then create something different for their future.
Now that we're aware of the meaning of the NASA snail and the sunburst carrier shell, how do they work together in a reading? You told us that someone can be drawn to a shell because it's attractive or because it bothers them. But how does that factor in? Let's imagine a client that selects both the NASA snail and the sunburst carrier because they both are attractive. What would that tell them?
Okay, so in order to go through the reactions to the shells, I'm going to borrow my candle here. I have a visual. I'm going to divide the screen. And this side will be if you like something, and this will be if you dislike something. So you asked if you like both. Let's start with that. That would mean we have the NASA and the carrier on the like side. The NASA means I will do whatever it takes to achieve my goal. The carrier means I prefer to be alone. So this combination is someone who will do whatever it takes for solitude. They don't want to be disturbed. If someone is ringing the doorbell or knocking on their door, they're not going to answer it. They might even pretend they're not home because they will do whatever it takes to maintain that solitude that I was talking about, the
Okay,
being
yes.
alone.
I understand now. What if the client selects both of these shells and he likes the carrier shell, but he doesn't like the NASA?
That would put the NASA on this side.
Okay.
Okay. So NASA is, I will do whatever it takes to achieve my goal. When it is not liked, that means there are some things I'm not willing to do. I have a line in the sand. So if we go back to somebody who wants to be alone, but now there's a line in the sand, there's some things they're not willing to do in pursuit of that. If someone were to knock on their door or ring their doorbell, they aren't going to be rude. They're going to try and pretend they're not home. They'll answer. They may keep the conversation short, but they're not willing to take that extra step and be completely rude about it. That's
So
the difference.
if someone knocks on the client's door and the doorbell rings, that's his reaction.
Yes, he will now answer the door. Maybe, as I said, it's a brief
Yes.
conversation because he wants to be alone, but he's not going to go to the extremes of, I've got to pretend I'm not here.
Okay, so he's not rude about it. He will go through the motions and say
Yes.
thank you and slam the door in his face and then move on with his life. Okay.
Exactly.
What if we have the reverse situation where the client selects both of these shells and he likes the NASA but does not like the sunburst carrier?
So now, the not liking of the sunburst carrier. Sunburst carrier was all about, I want to be alone. If you don't like the sunburst, it's just the opposite. I crave companionship. I don't want to be alone. NASA is, I will do whatever it takes. And now the goal is, I don't want to be alone.
So he will do anything to avoid being alone. What if the client's invited to an activity? Let's say they're going to go bowling. He doesn't like to go bowling. Would he go?
This client would go. because the ends justify the means. He so doesn't want to be alone. Even if he doesn't like bowling, he'll go because at least he won't be alone.
What if he's invited, say, to an activity that he likes, for example, an invitation to dinner, but then dinner is with someone he doesn't care to go with? Would he go?
Still goes because even if he doesn't like that person, he's not alone. And that's the ultimate goal.
One more possibility. I'm coming up with all these different combinations of what you have there. What if both
Right.
shells got the client's attention, but they both bothered the client and he didn't like either shell in the bottom line?
Okay. Now they're both over here. So, not liking the NASA means there's some things this client is not willing to do. And not liking the carrier means this client does not want to be alone. But because there are some things this client is not willing to do, it's a different scenario from the first client.
Based on this message, what will this client do if invited? Let's say we go bowling, and he hates to go bowling.
This client will not go because there's some things that client is not willing to do in pursuit of the goal of wanting companionship.
Okay, what if the client is invited somewhere by someone he doesn't care for?
Again, even though this client wants so much to have company, if this client doesn't like the person who's offering the invitation, and there's some things the client is not willing to do, this client won't go. This client is weighing the discomfort over going someplace or with someone that they don't like, compared to the benefit of the companionship.
That's
And
really, yeah. Just because
so
this
this
is,
client is willing at times, even though they want company,
yes.
to say no. Where over here, willing to do whatever it takes, whatever it takes, this one will go anywhere with anybody.
That's clear and very understandable. Now let's go a step further. We can see how the same two shells can give four different messages depending on whether you like or dislike each shell. Is there a way to get more details about these clients?
Yes, that comes from adding more shells.
Oh, okay.
So let's introduce a few more shells. I'm going to move my candle out of the way here.
And I might
Just a
add,
moment.
all of this information is at Michelle's website, which is very simple, oceanoracle.com. Information on the books, everything we're talking about during the program today, a link to our website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
And now we're going to look at two other shells. This is called a trivia shell. Oh, let me grab the actual shell again. It's another tiny one.
No, that
So
really is.
this is a trivia. And here's its card. You can probably see it better in the card than the
Yes.
actual shell. And this, the shell, which is this card, is called a delphinula. The trivia means trivial, unimportant. And this shell means arguments or anger. So if we were to add these to our original person who wants to do whatever it takes to be alone, and now we add. Do it this way. We have all four.
Oh, yes.
So this client says, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be alone. That now involves starting trivial or unimportant arguments, getting angry over nothing, fighting over petty things, because it's not about the argument at all. The client may not even know what started the fight. But by having this argument, it pushes people away. And that's the goal. The goal is, I want to be alone. So in the reading, this client may not even know that their belief is I'm better off alone, and they'll be surprised at that. But they will wonder, why am I surrounded by all these little fights all the time? And this will be the answer. With some clients, they actually know that they feel they're better off alone, but they weren't aware of what that belief was creating in their life. And now they look back and say, oh, yeah, there always have been these like petty little squabbles all the time. So this gives them knowledge to what I call grow the reading. What are they willing to do? NASA is, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. This client is starting all these fights without even an awareness of why.
What if the client likes all four of these shells? What would that add?
Okay, all four of these shells would be, I will read the backs because it says preferring to be alone, avoiding attachments, walking over people to get what one wants, believing the ends justify the means, arguments and anger, trivial and unimportant. And therefore, we've got that client who is starting all these unimportant, trivial arguments because the goal, the NASA, is I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I want to be alone. Here's how I can accomplish that. Push people away by always starting little petty fights. Let's imagine instead. What if we have someone willing to do whatever it takes and they don't want to be alone? What if we add to that? Just going to clip these together. Oops, let me bring back my candle. That will help you see what I'm talking about.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, so I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And I don't like being alone. And I don't like arguments. So this person will never raise their voice, never disagree, never argue, because their belief is I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have company. And if I were to get angry or raise my voice or disagree, that would risk the person leaving. So this person is never going to argue because they are doing whatever it takes for companionship.
Just amazing how all of this fits together.
That's what I'm hoping people will see, how easy this is.
Well, it is. It's all graphic. It's all right there. It's all understandable. So, what does disliking this shell tell you about the client and what they're willing to do for companionship?
Disliking the shell about anger shows you that in this client's eyes, they are so eager for company that no matter what they're feeling or thinking, if it's in opposition to somebody else, they'll never share it. They'll never speak up because they don't want to risk offending that person or pushing that person away. So they never raise their voice, they never argue, they never express a difference of opinion. Way too risky if they don't want to be alone.
So NASA means you would do absolutely anything to achieve your goal. Would you cheat? Would you steal?
That's a great question because you're right. NASA means you'll do whatever it takes. But that's what's within the client's moral compass. So if a client is not wired to be a criminal, then they are not going to use that as their means to achieve their goal. They won't lie, they won't deceive. But if a client is wired that way, there are shells that will reveal that.
What shell would give you the information that a client might be deceptive?
That comes from this beautiful shell. Is called the noble Wendell trap. Wendell trap means winding staircase. Now, it's a lovely shell, and back in the 1700s, these were extremely rare. Nobody knew where to find them, so they were very valuable. They were worth the equivalent today of about $100,000 for one shell.
Wow.
And someone figured out how to make rice paste counterfeits. But they'd look you in the eye and sell you the counterfeit for $100,000. So the meaning attached to this shell had nothing to do with the animal, nothing to do with the shell, but its interaction with humans throughout history. And so the meaning of the Wendell trap, here's the card for the Wendell trap.
Okay.
And the meaning says, con man, fraud, deceit. So if this shows up in a reading, imagine it's with the NASA. This person is willing to do whatever it takes, and that includes being deceptive in order to achieve their goal.
It's amazing what this tells us, and it's amazing the value of that shell and what people would do. Is there a different topic that the NASA could give clients insights on other relationships?
Yes. Instead of talking about romance and relationships, NASA says you're willing to do whatever it takes. So let's talk about the pursuit of money. So this is a money cowrie. And money cowries have to do with money, but there are other shells that also were used as money throughout history in different parts of the world. The quahog clam in New England, they were able to make beads from the white area of the shell and the purple area. The purple area being of more value because it's a smaller circumference here, the white being of lesser value, but these beads were called wampum. And this was accepted as currency even at Harvard University for tuition at one point. So that was money in New England. On the West Coast, you have something called tusk shells. And I want to see if I can show you, but if you notice on the bottom and on the top, might be harder to see, there's a natural opening.
Oh, yes.
And what happened is they could string these on deer sinew and make necklaces. And that was their currency. But when I'm looking for a meaning to attach to the shells, I'm looking for what's unique. The tusk shell was only on the West Coast. The quahog was in New England. Back to our money cowrie. These were accepted as money all over the world. Someone in Africa could trade for silk in China, and the Chinese could trade with Russian fur trappers, and they could trade with Native Americans, all using money cowries. So entire trade routes were established around money cowries. And if you think to a concept that money cowries is currency, and let's say an item was 20 money cowries, a goat, for instance. Well, with inflation, as time went by, it could be double that. You might need 40 money cowries. That starts to become cumbersome. So they cut the cowries into discs. And that was the precursor for coins. Some of the earliest coins in Greece have the image of a money cowrie on them. But in China, just to show you the connection to money,
little bit of history here today. This is fascinating.
Because it's all over the world.
Yes.
So the Chinese have a symbol for shell. Try and bring this close.
Oh, okay.
This symbol is a symbol for the cowrie shell. And anything that had to do with money, when you look at traditional Chinese symbols, so whether we're talking about buying or selling or anything to do with goods and merchandise, that symbol for shell is entwined in every one of these words. That shows you how closely they connect the idea of the money cowrie with money. So for that reason, definitely, money cowrie means money or abundance or prosperity. Here's the money cowrie card. So if we were to take a different subject matter instead of relationships and go with money, you've got a client who will do whatever it takes in the pursuit of money.
Is there another approach someone could take with the same goal around getting money?
Yes. So imagine we have that first client who says, I'm after money and I'm willing to be deceitful. The Wendell trap.
Yes.
Someone else who's not wired that way. Let me show you another shell. This is called the Candelabra Trophon. It's a beautiful shell. And the word candelabra, candles everywhere. So the meaning connected to the Candelabra Trophon is that whole idea of burning candles at both ends. Someone who's working 24/7, nonstop.
You know, you mentioned growing a reading. How would you go about growing a reading for clients? How does that work?
Okay, so if we've got the first client, and this client is in the pursuit of money, willing to do whatever it takes, and says, I'm willing to be deceitful in order to obtain money. We have another client who says, I want money, that's my goal, but I'm willing to burn the candle at both ends to get it. I am going to work 24/7, take on as many projects as possible. So two different approaches for the same goal and willing to do whatever it takes. Now, to grow a reading, let me teach you about another shell here. This is called the Imperial Harp. And if you notice, it's missing one rib.
Oh, yes.
Right here.
I can see that, yes.
So when I was in a shell store, and this was in the store, I asked the store owner if he had another because I was looking for one not missing the rib. And he said to me, do you know how lucky you are this is even here? Because it turns out, he explained, this was the national shell of Mauritius, which is an island off the coast of Africa. And they had requested that tourists not collect this shell. They cherish this shell. That fell on deaf ears. So eventually, it became against the law. And the only way to get one of these is if I die and will my shell back to that store and someone walks in that day, it's available. And that's what I had done. I walked in on a day when this was available. So that was quite a blessing.
Oh, yes.
And I knew the meaning right away would be a negative behavior that needs to change. And if not voluntarily, you know, they requested that people not collect these, so that was voluntarily, then the change is going to come by some kind of force. So this shell, the Imperial Harp, if we add that, so now we have someone in pursuit of money, willing to be deceitful, And along comes the imperial heart, meaning a behavior that needs to change either voluntarily or by force. So this person who has been conning people and deceiving people is going to have to change either on their own or something could come along to force it. And as the final step in growing this reading, what might cause this client to be forced to change? We have something called the crown conch. You see how it kind of resembles the crown at the top here?
Yep.
So this lovely shell, the crown conch, when people talk about the crown, often that means the head of the country or the law of the land. So the crown conch card here's the crown conch card. It means lawyers, court, or legal mediation. If we add that, see if I have enough hands.
Got quite a bit going there.
Let's see. Try and hold five cards. So we have the client who's willing to do anything for money. Now we're adding that they're willing to be a con artist or deceitful in the pursuit of that, but something is going to either change voluntarily or by force, and then we end up with the crown conch. If this client doesn't change on his own, whatever he's been doing that's so deceitful, he could end up in front of lawyers and in a courtroom and maybe in prison. That's what that pathway would grow into.
Okay.
Now, if we go back to our client who was willing to work 24/7, and now she has to change either voluntarily or by force to grow her reading, we have something you've seen before, actually, the quahog clam. Only. Initially, I talked about this in terms of money, and I said that was only wampum in New England. To me, that was not unique enough because there are other sources of money that were better, like the money cowrie. What is unique about the quahog clam is its anatomy. They have the most evolved hearts of all the mollusks. Some mollusks only have a single-chambered heart. These have a three-chambered heart with a pacemaker. I mean, their hearts are so similar to our four-chambered heart with a pacemaker. Scientists can study the effects of drugs and nicotine on the hearts of these clams and extrapolate how that might impact us. In addition, this is mind-blowing, but I want to show you how connected these are to heart health and just the idea of health in general. Quahog clams, people think they can tell the age by counting the rings on the clam.
Oh, can see,
see some of those rings.
Yes.
Similar to you would count the rings on a tree.
A tree, yeah.
That's true, but only if the animal lives in a northern environment. Because I mentioned earlier, they're absorbing the calcium out of the water to make their shell. That requires a warm environment. So if you're from the north, that only happens in the summer. And therefore, they add just one ring each year. But if you're in a tropical climate, you may add more than one ring in the same year. So you can't tell the age for a tropical clam. Now, what I want to tell you about is the quahog clam in a northern climate, specifically off the coast of Iceland. Scientists were studying these clams because they discovered they could be a century old. And they were going to collect them to study the rings because they thought this would be a method to determine the changes in climate over the century by are the rings compressed or wide? And this would give them details about the planet. So they took some clams out of the ocean. When they got back to the lab, they counted the rings. And the clam, the quahog clam that they had, had 400 rings.
Wow.
400. So they're thinking, oh my God, this is in 2006. This clam was around during the time of Shakespeare in the 1600s.
Yes.
And then they get better equipment. So they're thinking, I want to analyze this to be sure. And when they get better equipment, they were wrong about the 400. The clam was 507 years
Oh,
old.
truly amazing.
And when you think about that, that means there could be clams in the ocean older than that. But that is why quahog clam to me is about health. I mean, how can you have better health than you've lived a half a century? So this is the shell that has to do with heart health because of that mimicking our four-chambered heart with a pacemaker and taking care of health. So if we use this and go back to let me find it. I buried things here. We have the NASA and money. And now we have the client who said, I am willing to work 24/7. But something comes along. If that client doesn't change that behavior, something might force it. That would be the quahog clam because this client's health might start to suffer if they're never resting
Yes.
and constantly working 24/7.
A good
So
war.
that's two different five shell readings.
And it's amazing how you go through those. It's amazing how it can tell you in the case what you were just talking about, the warning is there that take it easy because you're in possibly going to create health problems because of that. I want to go back a second to the Imperial Harp shell. How fortunate were you to have this? What a rare opportunity for you to have this. That's incredibly valuable, isn't it?
It is. And as I said, the only way someone can get this is if I will it now back to that store. But what amazed me is not just the Imperial Harp, the fact that that came to live with me, but there are other shells like the green tree snail. I talked about this in a former interview, how this shell came from Papua New Guinea through my brother. It is now on the endangered species list. You can't get these. A store told me he'd be fined $10,000 if he had this in the store. So I've got this. I've got the green tree. Even the Wentel trap, it used to be worth $100,000. There's no way I could have one. But the value came down. And it's as if all these shells came to me before those obstacles were in place because somehow they knew I would need them when in the future I wrote Ocean Oracle.
They all have been invaluable in putting this process together. And speaking of Ocean Oracle, I can see how the actual shells are able to work with people. Why do the pictures and the cards work so well?
So that, I wondered that myself. Would it work? I had people using the shells. I could tell the shells produced energy because I had a
Yes.
blind client and she came in and she just gently tapped. I mean, if you blinked, you'd miss it. She was tapping all the shells and she got to another area of the room and she said, oh, this shell is the same as the one on the top shelf in that other cabinet. And she was right. Now, if you could see, you would know definitely it was the same. But I thought, how does she know from one little tap? But it was the energy that she could pick up. So I knew the shells would produce this energy. I didn't know about the pictures. And when I first started and I was doing psychic fair readings, I was trying to figure out how can I take my shells without damaging them. And so what I did is I photographed my shells, and this was back in the day when you send out the film and wait for it to be
Oh,
delivered.
yes.
And I made pictures of all my shells. I have it right here just to show you a basic idea. So, for instance, here's pictures of two shells. And could add abalone to it. And they're on clear plastic cards because that way I can mimic what happens when you use the actual shells. I can put them right next to each other.
Oh, yes.
Here's the Wendel trap that we were just working with. And so that's what I was using. And I wondered, are they going to have that same ability as the actual shells? And I was amazed at the answer to that question because I talked about this actually in the last interview. A woman came for a reading, confined to a wheelchair. And she's picking her shells out of the cabinet. And as I'm interpreting her message, she wasn't relating at all. She said, no, that's not right. And I thought, oh, she must be limited by what she can see because she's in the wheelchair. She doesn't have access to everything. So I put all her shells back and I took out those cards. I have here the box that I showed her. You can just
Oh,
see,
okay,
you
yes.
can't see any of the shells. But all I did was have her run her hands over the top and just pull out whatever shells she felt called to pull out. And they were the same shells I had just put back. That's how I knew for sure that the pictures worked. Now, when I wrote Ocean Oracle, I used business card stock. Here's the original Ocean Oracle I made on my computer. And just to show you some of the shell cards, they're on perforated business card stock. So you would just tear along the perforations,
No, yes.
and that would give you your deck. There's 20 pages of cards, and it gives you your 200 shells. So I would spend all day on just two shells, trying to get them right because I wanted to do them justice. I knew some people will never see this shell any other way because they're from all different parts of the world. So I felt it incumbent on me to give them the best picture of them that I could. And I think that combination of knowing the shells produce this energy and the love that I poured into making the cards, that's a powerful combination. And that is available in every copy of Ocean Oracle. And that's why I think that they can work.
It's amazing the enthusiasm that you bring to this, and the time once again has gone by so quickly. I appreciate you doing the guide to the basic process for a shell reading. I can see you can add even more shells to gain more insights into the readings. In fact, when you consider there are 200 shells in Ocean Oracle and the variety of ways they can interact with each shell, as you showed us, sort of mixing and matching and moving them around. And you see the number of possible combinations are infinite, aren't they? I mean, they're
They're
there,
infinite,
and it
yes.
really you can't put up a limit on a limitation on the numbers. Do you have any other suggestions in using the shells to do a reading?
I do. One tip is when you're working with the posters, before you start looking at the posters, close your eyes and just focus on your name. Just say your name a few times because what you're trying to do is empty your mind so that when you open your eyes, you see what jumps out at you. And then I also recommend having a pen and paper nearby because all you need is the number under the shell on these posters. You don't have to know anything else about the shells. Once you know the number, you'll be able to find the card. And on the back of the card, you'll learn the name of the shell and the meaning of the shell, but that's not necessary that you even use the book to do the readings. All you need is the card because the meanings are on the back.
You've thought
And
it all the way through. I love this. It's so meticulous the way you have this set up.
that's what I was going to say. I hope people see how easy it is. 200 sounds intimidating, but not when you see the method. It's really quite simple.
Like I said, you laid it out perfectly, and by showing it today, we really have an example of what it's like and what you can get with a reading, what you can gain from a reading. So what's next for you? What project are you working on now?
As you said, there are shells all over the world.
Yes.
And as an ambassador, I want to reach out to other countries. So this year, there are two international exhibitions for books. One takes place, the International Literary Book Exhibition in Taipei, Taiwan. That's next month. And then a little later in the year, there's one in Beijing, China. And I am honored because one of my graduate students lives in China, and he is willing to be in Beijing in order to answer questions and share his experiences
Oh,
with working
fantastic.
with his seashell partners.
That's
It's so touching to me that it's his desire to do this.
that, yes. Well, he picked up on the enthusiasm and the practicality of this. When you see how this all works and what you can learn from it, and you find out the history of seashells. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. It's a history lesson that we've been doing on these interviews. Any final words as we wrap up our fourth interview in this series?
I want to have one caveat for everyone. I hope they see how easy this is to do. What I want to point out is Ocean Oracle is not designed for predicting the future. I know when people think of readings, they're thinking they're predicting things.
Yes.
The point is to really understand who you are in the present. It's a psychological tool to reveal those hidden thoughts and feelings, and then to empower you with options. Because once you know they're there, if you reevaluate those beliefs that have been controlling you behind the scenes, you may decide to change. And if you do, you would create from a different belief and possibly transform your future.
You answer the whys. We may know what we do, but we don't know why. You answer those questions why and what you can do, as you said, to alter the future. It's been such an amazing series of programs. Our guest has been Michelle Shelley Hansen. Her website is very simple, oceanoracle.com. Her books are Ocean Oracle, What Seashells Reveal About Our True Nature, and Ocean Wisdom, Lessons from the Seashell Kingdom. Those books available on our website, so much more on our website as well. Shelley, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
I thank you. I am eternally grateful for this opportunity to be able to share this information and show people how amazing these animals are and the value of working with them.
Well, you've done an excellent job in doing that. You've held my attention the entire time. Like I said, I'm taking notes. I mean, you walk on the seashore now and you look down, you see a shell. It's not just a shell. There's much more than just a shell there. And you'll have all that
Definitely.
knowledge by looking into what Shelley's talking about on the program and all of the books, all the information available at Michelle Hansen's website, oceanoracle.com. You're listening to This Week in America. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.